Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelow
and Sophie Kessler. Welcome back to the Mind Mastery and Manifestation podcast. We are so excited to have you guys here once again and love reading some of the comments and feedback we've been getting, especially on the last episode about sex and intimacy. If you haven't tuned in yet, I would highly encourage taking the time to go and listen in on that episode as it was juicy. So, what are we going to be talking about today? So, we want to dive into teaching and showing you guys how to create wonderful relationships. And I say that very intentionally because in order to have a beautiful relationship, it's about having something that feels full, where you can feel whole. And that is how we're really going to start talking about this topic, is being able to come into it feeling like you are whole, being able to love yourself first, and knowing the difference between giving and taking love. So if you've been tuning into this series, you've heard us mention this many, many times. And on this episode, we're going to show you how, now that you've mastered that sense of wholeness, to take it to a whole nother level in your relationships.
So yeah, as Sophie said, we've been in this sort of relationships block of episodes for a few episodes now. So if this is the first one that you're catching, I would really go back a couple episodes and listen to all of it because they kind of build progressively so that you can have the best relationship possible, including how to have amazing sex and intimacy, how to start the relationship successfully. Today we're going to get into it, assuming that you are already in a relationship or about to get into one so that you can set yourself up for the greatest amount of happiness, success, and fulfillment. And the first thing is that we've got to talk about this idea of what it means to be whole within a relationship, because I see so many times, and I've been in those relationships as well, where I've gotten into a relationship because I wanted to, whether I knew it consciously or not, I wanted either someone to make me feel better about myself, make me feel significant, or give me love that I could not seem to find in other places. And in each case here, notice that it's me taking, looking to get something from the other person. And immediately, this puts me at a lower position. This puts me in a place of needing the person something. And the relationship can kind of become almost like a kind of a drug relationship, right? Where I'm turning to someone else to change my state because I can't do it myself. And then I consistently need that attention, or I need those good feelings, or I need that person to act or behave in a certain way or tell me certain things or have sex with me a certain number of times, or else I won't get the thing that I'm needing and I'll feel bad, right? And so when people get into that, a few things happen. When you start your relationship that way, you kind of set it up so that, you know, people are only in the relationship at that point so they can get something out of it. And as soon as they stop getting it, relationship hits the rocks. Or if they don't get it in the right way, don't get it in a certain amount of time, but also that blocks intimacy, that really shuts people down to each other, to growing. And it messes up with the power dynamics. It doesn't allow people to be equal. It's one person giving and one person taking. And maybe it switches so that sometimes the taker becomes the giver. But that just kind of messes things up. When a person feels like they're always giving into the relationship, they build resentment to the person taking. When the person taking in the relationship really notices that and starts building up that dependency, they become the addict. And that's not really grounds for a healthy relationship. On the other side, when there are two people who are whole in themselves, that they love and accept themselves fully, or at least as much as they can at the time, and they come together not to give or take love or significance or certainty, but to share what they already have, it sets the relationship up for a completely different way of being.
And I love that you brought this up, because a relationship isn't 50-50. It's not I give and you take. It's 100-100. It's two whole people coming together to create something beautiful between them both, right? It's not, oh, you complete me. It's I'm complete and I want to share my wholeness with you. And it's like you create, if you can imagine, you know, you have one whole person as one circle and a second person as another whole circle. When they come together, they create a third circle in between them that is the relationship. But when you bring two people who aren't whole together, it's like you're overlapping the two circles and they can't exist without each other. Their relationship requires the other person. And that's where things like codependency come in. So when we're talking about building wonderful relationships, it's about having these two people who are whole come together and create a whole nother aspect of both of them, which is the relationship.
One of the many beautiful things there is that when two people who are so self-loving, they have so much that they've created for themselves that they have enough to share and they willingly share, then it's people who stay together not out of need or anything else other than the fact that they really want to, because it makes them feel amazing. And that allows both people to really enjoy all of it, every part of it, right? Because if you're there out of just pure gratitude, enjoyment, and love, and all those good stuff, like all that good feelings, then it can make even sharing a cup of coffee, just hanging out and being stupid in the morning before work, it turns into a really loving act, and it transforms everything you do into something even more intimate and even more meaningful and even more fun and fulfilling. So right then and there, the more you work on yourself, even while you're in a relationship, before a relationship, doesn't matter when, the more you work on yourself, the more fun you allow yourself to have with anybody else, but especially in an intimate relationship.
And here's something that I would really love for you guys to take away from this and understand. Beauty of coming from a place of abundance instead of a place of lack or scarcity. And what I mean when I say that is when you're in a relationship, a whole relationship, you're willing and wanting to give to the other person, not an expectation of what you're going to get back, but you're giving because in giving, it fills you up to see them light up. And what I mean when I say that is if you're a man looking at your woman and you're doing something because you know it makes her so happy, you know it's something she loves so much, you do it to see her smile. And when she does, it lights you up.
Right. So that also goes back into the last episode when we were talking about intimacy, about what intimacy really is when, you know, two people get to connect on that soul level, simply to be there for each other, to appreciate each other. Sit there and say, I see you, I feel you, I appreciate you, I love you, I'm grateful for you, things like that, right? And so when two whole people get into a relationship, most of the actions, if not all the actions, are from that, because they don't need anything from the other person. I don't need to take anything from you. I don't need to get anything from you. So it eliminates the transactional form of the relationship. I don't need to do anything to get anything from you. So the only reason I do anything for you is because it makes me feel amazing to see you happy from it. And that is wild, right? And you get to share abundance. And the beautiful thing is that when people feel like they are free to be themselves, like there isn't an expectation, like there's no transaction there, they tend to give each other more. They tend to share each other with each other even more because it's free. It's without any demands or clauses or expectations. It's free flowing and it's natural. It's organic and it's gorgeous. So there, really, it goes back on you and it goes back on being your best self all day, every day, while you're single, while you're in a relationship, and to consistently practice work on yourself, practice opening your heart space, opening up your mind to even greater intimacy, even with strangers, right? Just opening yourself up to sharing your gifts to being powerfully vulnerable. By the way, we've talked about all of these topics in previous episodes. But the more you work on that, the more you'll be able to freely give to your partner, and just out of the sheer enjoyment of it.
And something beautiful happens when you're living from this state. You begin to evolve and grow and expand, and so does your partner. And when you're in a relationship that's whole, what happens is there's no constraints of you're changing and that's bad, right? Or you used to be this way and I miss it. It's understanding and having compassion for your partner, where you love exploring and learning and seeing these new pieces and parts of them, and understanding that there are many different parts of them, which brings us into this idea of having alter egos, especially in the bedroom, right? And this is probably one of the most beautiful pieces of intimate, wonderful relationships, is having that space, that trust, that respect to where you and your partner are able to go into the bedroom. And one of the biggest secrets that you'll hear about a lot of really fun, long-lasting, happy marriages is that the bedroom is a sacred, safe space where the partners are able to show up in different ways, where they're able to share a part of themselves that they wouldn't share with anyone else. And that is how you can create this intense, passionate, beautiful relationship in that specific area.
And you can carry that outside of the bedroom too, because when people change, when people feel really safe with each other to change, then there's kind of experimentation that happens. You know, people get into different interests. People will start trying to talk differently, act differently, dress differently as they just grow and as they experience more of life. And so it's really important within a relationship that both partners feel totally safe to show up in any way. By the way, even if it's a negative way, when both partners show up and they think that, hey, if I'm happy, I can be that way. If I'm feeling zany, I can come in and be a cartoon character. If I'm sad, then I can be sad and I can show this partner every part of me, any part of me, and I will be accepted and I will be treasured and I will have that space to be me, however that looks, whatever that means in this moment. And it's really all about that, about both people there, allowed to experience themselves fully, allowed to change and grow within themselves fully, but then also enjoying the discoveries that they find within the other person. I know, look, part of the enjoyment of my own life is finding out all these different things about me that I never knew, or all the ways that I change. And I love seeing that in my friends and in my intimate relationships and everything, right? It's gorgeous to learn something new about someone you've known for a long time. And when both people in a relationship feel free and open to do that, to be that, to show up that way, then it's really magical.
And this is really understanding that it's about taking care of yourself first so that you can show up in that relationship, and having the trust and the respect and the compassion to communicate with your partner and be willing to understand their perspective, and for you to feel like you can be understood as well, especially on the days when you're not doing so great, because those will come. And so when we're talking about relationships, when we're talking about showing up as your best self, it's also making sure that, like Dan mentioned, you're giving yourself permission to experience all of who you are, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and that your partner can respect and love and appreciate that about you and help to bring out the best pieces in you.
And when we're talking about bringing out the best pieces, it is really important there that you put in effort every day. How many people have you seen who are working out, taking care of themselves, they get into a relationship and then they just let themselves go, right? It's like, oh, I got what I wanted. I don't need to try anymore. I actually think that's the time when you want to try even more, right? Because you have someone that you love and who loves you, keep them. Show them that you appreciate yourself and them. And that goes with growing in your emotional freedom, your intellectual capacities, keeping yourself healthy in all ways, keeping yourself pushing to be even more open. Because when you allow yourself to stagnate, you're not taking care of yourself. How would your partner think that you're going to take care of them? Right? If you don't respect yourself, how will your partner see that? How will you be able to respect them if you can't even respect yourself, right? If you don't grow in loving yourself, how can you grow in loving them? And so every day you've got to push to be even more, to be even better, to find even greater ways to be fulfilled and happy in yourself so you can bring even more to the relationship. And when both people do that, and you know, here's this, I learned this, I'm going to try this new thing, or bringing themselves into consistently eating healthy, working out, learning, studying, traveling, all these gorgeous things that allow people to grow, then one, first of all, you'll never get bored, ever. That's the cure for boredom in a relationship. You'll never get tired of each other because you're always changing, pushing, growing, supporting. I mean, it just stays fresh all the time. And that sounds like an amazing relationship to me.
And just like Dan mentioned here, again, it's remembering to have that independency outside of the relationship, right? Especially when you've been in one for a long term. It's remembering that it's about being full, filling yourself up so that you have more to give inside of the relationship. And yeah, very, very important. Taking care of yourself, because the more that you give to yourself, the more that you'll have to give and to bring into that relationship and come from a place of abundance and expansion rather than a place of lack and frustration. So the next biggest key here is to remember to include spontaneity in your relationships. And this is something where you'll hear a lot of, especially longer term relationships, talk about, well, I'm bored, or I'm just not attracted to them anymore, or there's no spark there. And usually what that tells us is some of the needs of variety aren't being met. And this is a basic human need, especially in your relationship, to have that variety, to have that sense of adrenaline, that sense of excitement. And so being willing to be spontaneous, this can be in intimate ways, this can be in fun, goofy ways, where you get out of routine with your partner for a day or an hour and you do something out of the norm just to excite them, just to bring back some excitement and enthusiasm in your relationship.
One of the easiest ways to do that, and because I can hear a couple of people thinking, we've known each other for 20 years, how can we be spontaneous now? Well, like Sophie said, if you maintain your individuality, then that's not going to be an issue. Because if you stay really part of a relationship, but also an individual doing your own thing, changing in your own ways, learning about different things, experiencing the world on your own every once in a while, then you're going to have this influx of ideas and, you know, muses for your spontaneous actions that your partner will not have experienced. You will have maintained your own way of thought, your own opinions, your own emotions, and that will feed you with ways to be spontaneous in and out of the bedroom. And again, when both people get to do this, then it's not only on you, right? You're going to have a spontaneous idea one time. They're going to have a spontaneous idea the other time. That's one of the beautiful things I love, by the way, about kind of really sticking to my individuality within a relationship. I enjoy sometimes not talking to a person for a day. God forbid, 2 days. When I'm off doing some stuff, I'm off on a trip, or I'm working on my business, or I'm just having some alone time. Because after that, I have so much to talk about and I have so much to share. And maybe I have some prank that I want to play, or I have a joke that I want to tell, or I saw something that just, yes, I need to try this. Right? And that time gives me that ability to be spontaneous. And as long as you have that, it doesn't matter if you've known each other for 50 years. You'll keep having those ideas and ways to be spontaneous and fresh and exciting.
So important. This is a huge one. And I can admittedly say that there have been times in my relationships where coming from a place of insecurity and lack, where it was frightening or frustrating if my partner didn't want to talk to me for multiple days or wanted space, right? So it's important that you recognize the meaning that you're giving to certain circumstances and events, and that, again, you respect your partner's individuality. And in those moments, give yourself permission to recognize your own individuality. Who are you outside of the relationship and within it? And so, again, as your partner expands, you can also give yourself time, especially coming from more of that feminine energy that needs that constant communication. Recognizing, again, the meaning that you're giving to it, and for the masculine energy, being willing to communicate what that is. There's that continuous communication, and more so that continuous compassionate relationship.
And so that takes us into something a little bit different. As you've seen here, that we haven't really mentioned it directly, we keep on referring to one of the secrets of having a beautiful relationship is to have even more than just the relationship going on, right? The more you bring in outside stuff, right? Or even more of you, then the better there is. It's like more coal for the fire. And one of the things that I've seen really helps in relationships is that people get together for more than just we have a good time together, or for more than we're just attracted to each other, right? Because bodies change. And when you're 90 years old, your bodies are going to look a little bit different than when you're 25 together, right? And so things can change. But if you get together for even more, for the appreciation of something bigger than yourselves, then it gives the relationship something completely different. Like, I'm very deeply spiritual, and it's important for me that even if I'm just casually dating, that the women who I'm dating also connect with me on that level, because it gives us something even bigger than us to connect on. For some people, it's a cause or a way of looking at life or a way of looking at families or goals or, right, something bigger that they can both contribute to, that they can both explore together. One of the things that really impressed me is when I learned about Vedic sciences, the original, how they were married. Now you can see this, a similar sort of thing done in traditional Hindu weddings, where quite a bit of the ceremony is devoted to them getting together to create a spiritual connection, so that they can get together to get even closer to enlightenment and have an enlightened family and contribute to the world through their positive energy. And I remember hearing that for the first time and thinking, oh my God, my relationships have been so thin. No wonder they fell apart so easily. We were just together out of these shallow things. If I can find someone who can connect with me on that level, yeah, okay. Maybe I won't get into as many relationships. Maybe that's a good thing. But the quality of my relationships will be totally different. So see if you can connect on that. And oh my God, that's so good. Because then, even if you do get into tiny little squabbles, you'll have something big to take you right out of them, because you can connect on that. Who cares where the pillowcase went? You know, we're here for a bigger reason. And it just helps in so many different ways.
Dan, you're so on point here. And it really is understanding, again, when you're connecting with your partner on more than just getting by or having fun, right? You're connecting on different value points, those pieces that mean something so much more to you and to your partner. It makes it so much easier to resolve conflicts and disagreements, because you're not coming from a place of I'm right and you're wrong. You're coming from a place of, again, keyword, compassion and understanding and respect and love. And so what we want to talk to you a little bit about is the different type of conflict resolution types.
Right. So there are different ways that people approach conflict. And it's important to know, first of all, that none are wrong, none are bad. It's the question of effective or ineffective. And then also, just knowing that they exist so that you can work with them and you can appreciate each other's things. Like for me, my conflict resolution is rip the Band-Aid off fast. I kind of need that. You know, for me, one of the worst things that can happen is to know that a partner of mine is upset with me or upset about something and won't freaking talk to me about it. It's not even an elephant in the room. There, to me, it's like, you know, in Hitchcock movies where you don't see the violence, you don't see the murder, you don't see the villain, so you think it's the worst thing that could ever happen. That happens to my brain every single freaking time. And it's usually not that bad. Remember, 90% of the things that you're afraid of don't ever happen. I need that. And so I make sure to let people know if I'm in a relationship, like, hey, this is kind of how I am, right? So we've got to be able to work with that. But yet, there's the opposite side of people when they're going through some sort of conflict that they don't want to address it. They need some time to process. They need some time to chill. And so maybe they'll want to extract themselves from the situation. And so I've got to teach myself in those situations to either negotiate, right? Or to simply respect and just to, you know, put myself on pause, realize, okay, if I go for my conflict resolution way of just like hammer this out right now, I'm going to freak my partner out. So let's chill out a little bit. And so I found in mine, especially with those two, is to simply talk about it ahead of time before conflicts come up, because you know they are. They're going to come up. And it's not a bad thing. It's often a really healthy thing. And just to say, awesome, like, here, this is how I feel when this happens. How do you feel when this happens? Okay, cool. Can we have some sort of word or some sort of request that we can make that'll make things easier? Like, for me, it really helps me to know, instead of this person's just going to run away from me for an unspecified amount of time, so I'm going to have to deal with this monster in my mind forever, to say, like, okay, cool. Hey, can I have 20 minutes to chill out? And that allows me to put myself on pause. And then we can come back and connect. And, you know, 20 minutes isn't a long time. I allow myself to know that, cool, we're going to work this out and it's going to be soon. I give that person, you know, another way to just chill and process. Then we can connect and we can resolve our conflict peacefully.
And one of the biggest quotes that I love, love, love reiterating whenever there are conflicts that arise, because they do, is, would you rather be in love or would you rather be right? And when you ask yourself that question, it allows you to step into a place of compassion, right? Where knowing that, okay, maybe it's not about being right or being wrong or however these point of views are coming across, but maybe it's just about coming from a loving place so that I can fully understand where my partner is coming from and respecting whatever that resolution type is for them, but also recognizing that within yourself. And again, a big key here is to remember and recognize the level of self-awareness that you need to have, really knowing yourself and your partner knowing themselves so that you can communicate this. And more importantly, being able to know your partner's love languages. Now, we've talked quite a bit about this in previous episodes. And so if you want to tune more into that, I would recommend going back and listening to, where was it, where we talked about love languages. Dan, do you remember what episode that was?
I don't. I was looking for it myself. I know we recently talked about it in a Facebook Live. And we talked about love in so many different episodes. Guys, just scan back and just look for that buzzword. You'll find it.
Yeah, so it really is, again, it's understanding what your partner's love language is. And just to quickly review on those, it's understanding that there is quality time, right? Spending time one-on-one with your partner. There is words of affirmation, needing to hear your partner say it. There is acts of service, so your partner doing something for you just because. There is physical touch. So being able to actually have that person give you a hug or touch you in some way or acknowledging you through physical attributes. And then there was one more.
So we have quality times, words of affirmation, acts of service, physical touch, receiving gifts.
Ah, and gift giving. So being able to have your partner give you a gift. And typically most people will have two. One is the primary and then there's the secondary. So you can actually take the free quiz online and your partner can take it as well to just kind of get an idea of what those are for you. But being able to recognize, again, what is my partner's love language, primary and secondary, and what are mine? Not that any of them are wrong, but if you're communicating through your love language, which may not be the same as your partner's, you may be showing love to them in a way that they're not able to receive it or that they don't understand it. So again, being able to have the self-awareness with yourself and with your partner to recognize these patterns.
And one easy way, so yeah, there are plenty of quizzes online. They're quick. Take them. They're fun. But you can also look for your deep love strategy, which is essentially asking yourself, how do I know that I am loved? What do I need before I know that I'm loved? Do I need to hear someone say it? Do I need to see someone do something? Do I need to feel something within my body, like touch, right? Or do I need to receive something external to me? And you can just ask yourself, like, how do I know, what's the moment that I know that I'm actually loved? And that's real quick something you could do for yourself right now, because that also helps, first of all, avoid conflict, because a lot of times when conflict brews, it's because two people are saying something, but neither one is hearing each other. And a lot of times because they're communicating maybe in their love language or according to their deep love strategy, but not their partner's. So it's important to know what yours is, and it's important to know what your partner's is. And that's actually going to be your task for this episode, which is go find out your love language. Think about your deep love strategy. And here it sort of branches. If you are currently single, then show even more love to yourself, right? Communicate to yourself using your deep love strategy or your love language so that you love yourself even more and you really feel it in a way that really means something to you. It's amazing how many people don't actually show themselves love in the way that they really receive it. And if you are in a relationship, practice, find out what your partner's love language is and their deep love strategy and use it. I would say make sure to use it at least twice a day. Doesn't have to be big. If you're thinking about, oh, you know, my partner's love language is gifts, I have to give him 2 gifts a day. A gift can be all sorts of things. A gift can be a post-it note, right? A gift can be a tiny little piece of chocolate. It could be brewing coffee in the morning, making breakfast. It could be all sorts of things. People can see so many things as gifts that get creative with it, right? Act of service, right? It doesn't have to be huge. Act of service can be, again, cleaning something, prepping something, putting someone's clothes away, right? Helping out with something small around the home. So employ those strategies twice a day and see your relationships grow even more happy and fulfilling.
And on that note, we will see you all on the next episode when we dive deep into understanding relationship challenges. So we'll see you then.
Bye, guys.